بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت الشيخ عبد العزيز صاحب رحمة الله عليه doesn't require any introduction for a person who had studied hadith. He falls in the sanad and the chain of narrators of your hadith. He had one student, and the student was very eager in debating and discussing. This habit of discussing and debating, whilst it may be acceptable in a madrasa environment, it's not a thing to be conducted anywhere and everywhere. And nor is every person in the position of discussing and debating. Nuruddin was a hakim, and he had treated Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Vilayati Rahmatullah Alayhi. So Shah Sahib Rahmatullah told him that, "You see, you have treated me, and hal jaza'u al-ihsani illa al-ihsan. The reward of a favor is a favor." Then he went on to tell him, "See, you have got a habit of discussing, entering into debates, discussions, and this habit will then eventually lead you to discussing with Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. And then I see it's already recorded that when you're going to discuss with him, eventually you will fall into his trap and you will be his first Khalifa." And exactly as Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Vilayati had predicted, when he heard about Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he went to debate with him. When he went to debate with him, then he became his first successor, his first Khalifa. So this is not something that one is supposed to be looking forward to. Sometimes you don't have that ability of discussing. Sometimes it is that these people that are in this debates and all that, they use some type of spiritual powers as well. Like this cricket match that was carrying on now lately in India, and many people explained that there were some jadugars that were used. Some woman was being used, her hair was suspended in front of her eyes, and throughout the matches where India had to play, she was casting a spell. So whatever it was, but there is this class of people. There is this class of people, and in these debates they use them. The Ahl-e Batil will use a person of Batil on their defense for their support. If you are not well equipped, you don't have that stamina, you don't have the strength, and you're looking forward to a debate, so dene ko lene ho jayega. Instead of you gaining something, you'll lose whatever you've got. So it's not a healthy thing. Some people have got the strength, they have got the knowledge, and they have got the backing and support. Those that got the support and the backing, they will go in and they'll come out clean. But everybody can't claim that, "I've got the backing, the support, the strength." Everybody can't claim it. Many people tried and they lost. Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah had one student and he was very forward in these type of things. Around that time in Delhi, there were many, many Bidati peers. So one Bidati peer had challenged, and this person, this student, went and accepted the challenge. He arrived at the Bidati peer's place around noon, 1 o'clock, when it's midday and quite hot. And he announced the reason for his coming, "I've come to accept your challenge." So the Bidati peer told him, "Now it's midday, it's hot, rather relax, there's some charpais around. And you can relax. When you get up, you'll be fresh, you'll be in a better position to discuss with me." He went and relaxed. This peer went under the charpai, and as he's fast asleep, he started his tasarruf. Whatever spiritual powers he had, he began to use them. As he got up from his sleep, now the first thing he says, "I want to take bayat at your hands." This peer sahib is telling him, "But let us do the debate first, discussion." Say, "No, I don't need any debate. I've got total inshira. My heart is totally clear. A debate and a discussion is for the person whose heart is not clear. But when my heart is absolutely clear, there must be a need of a discussion." So, the Bidati peer, he had hardly got up. Before this person could get up, he made an announcement, Pakwan charhao. In other words, some type of a mitai that used to be distributed at a time you got a great murid coming in, then you are celebrating. So he said, "Pakwan charhao, get that mitai ready." He was so confident that this person is going to become his murid. Before he could announce, he made the type of tasarruf and he was absolutely confident that I got him in my clutches. So this Bidati peer then told him, "All right, you are so eager in taking bayat, then this mitai that I've got as a token of happiness for your getting admitted into my muridship, so I request that you take one parcel for your ustad, Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib." "Yeah, sure, definitely, whatever you say. Whatever you say, I'm prepared to do it." You see, so this is not a thing for everybody to look forward. There's debates, discussions. They look very healthy, whether it's on the radio, whether it is life, whether it's face to face. One is to debate and discuss oneself, and one is to listen to it and to be a passive partner to the whole thing. You don't have the understanding. When you don't have the understanding, then how are you going to make out who's right and who's not right? In discussions and debates, when they are held live, when they're being aired, then there are many people that are trained. They are trained to get into discussions and debates. They are trained in mob mentality, how to influence the mob, how to influence the person. They are trained in doing that. Now, you're not trained in doing that. How to sway the crowd from one end to the other end. They say, "Inna min ash-shi'ri la sihran." Sometimes poetry also can be magic, can work like magic. One person says, "You know, a Hindu, he gets up in the morning, he'll have a bath, then he'll go to work. He'll stay whole day in perspiration, in dirt. And then in that state of dirt, he'll carry on the entire day. He'll come back the night, he'll sleep in the dirt. And then in the morning he'll get up and then he'll bath and then he'll go to work. And a Muslim, Juma usal kar leta hai. Now see how he said it. How he said it, Juma. Now, there is a way you work with mob mentality. Now, these people are trained in doing that. Working with mob mentality, they've got a way to do it, they are trained to do it. So they can sway the crowd either way, right, left, right or wrong, whichever way they want to sway the crowd, they can sway the crowd. And you aren't trained to do that. When you aren't trained to do that, they can sway you from one end to the other end, and you won't even realize it that way. You have gone into the wrong, total wrong. So, to be actively participating in a debate and discussion, that is also not right. And to be listening to it also is not right. Because you don't have that introductory facts. To understand the ruling is very easy. This is haram, this is halal, this is very easy, right? But those arguments that lead to that answer is not very easy to understand. It's easy to understand the answer, or this is halal, this is haram. It's easy. But the arguments that will lead to it, is it easy to understand that? It's not an easy thing. Not everybody's cup of tea to understand the arguments. Right? So each person is presenting his argument so forcefully, so impressively. Now you get lost in the argument. Within the argument you get lost. So the better thing for many people is not to get into this. Simple, be simple, keep your iman clean, clear, and be simple in that respect. You have one alim, respectable, taqwa, muttaqi, parhezgar. Listen to him and carry on, continue with life. Then don't listen to too many people. The more you listen to people, the more confused you will get. I heard from Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi. He says, Akbar, he was the person that had invented Deen-e Ilahi, like how you got multi-religion, you know, today. That you got all the religion in one melting pot, and whatever comes out of that, then you're practicing it. Whether it's Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Judaism, mix everything, make one Ajmer ka khichra, and then feed it to everybody. Right? So you don't know what dimension it's taking, what direction it's taking, you don't know. You're on a big melting pot, everything is mixed up into that melting pot and dished out to everybody. Everybody's happy, you know, multi-religion is for everybody. The Hindu is also happy, the Ram Ram is also happy, and the Rahman is also happy, everybody is happy. No fight now. So it sounds so appetizing, it sounds so attractive. So this Akbar was the person who innovated this thing here. And what led him to do all this was something very strange, very, very strange. Initially, Akbar was a very pious person. Righteous, pious, God-fearing. And his piety was such that he went up to Ajmer on foot twice or thrice. Maybe the journey must have been over 500 kilometers. On foot he traveled, king of India. And that time India was about the most leading country. And now you can imagine now for a king to leave his residence, go on foot to Ajmer twice. So he was a very righteous person. Used to perform about 100 or 200 rakats every day. But now what happened to him was, as I heard from Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi, is in masail, etc., then he would discuss with the alim. Now one alim is discussing with, then he's discussing with the second alim, and the third alim, and the fourth alim. So obviously, each alim wants to curry favor with the king. He wants to gain proximity, right? If I see 200 alims and they are with the king, right? So what will each one, what will he want? He wants to gain proximity. Now here you understand that just having a crowd and proximity, all that, are not signs and indications of acceptance. One friend of mine was explaining that he was by the Rose Mubarak and suddenly he sees a big crowd, an uncontrollable crowd. He was, everything was so peaceful and calm, and suddenly now it's uncontrollable, unmanageable. What happened? So he discovered that one famous woman singer, right? I don't know what was her name now, Gulshan, whatever it was. So this singer was around, and that whole crowd was mad to look at that girl, that singer. The whole attention has been turned from the Rose Mubarak to this singer, understand? So this mob mentality, and just following the mob, crowds, so many crowds with me and so many crowds with this person here, so it's a sign of acceptance, etc. That reasoning is not right. Right? So many people are listening to this radio, or this program, whatever, so they must be right. So forget that type of mentality. The type of mentality is not right. So what we're getting at is this type of discussions. And I explain about Akbar. So he's listening to one alim. And each alim is trying to gain proximity to the king. Obviously now king, so powerful king he is. So to gain proximity now, you got him in your hands, you've got him, and you can turn him and you can maneuver him in the direction that you want. So in doing so, they try to curry favor. They would try and adjust the masla, compromise and all that, so that it seems more appetizing to the king, and he's lured in accepting that alim. In the meanwhile, he's a brilliant person. So he saw what these people were up to. When he saw that game, then he lost confidence in all ulama. In all the ulama, he lost confidence. He said, no, I must invent my own thing. Initially, the niyat was right. That I must do everything after consulting the ulama ikram. But then after that, when he saw that this was the game that they were playing, so he totally broke down. He lost the confidence entirely. He said, now I'm not going to listen to anybody. Then he started inventing his own religion. And then he had his advisors advising him that, na'uzubillah, the religion that Rasulullah had brought has expired because 1,000 years has passed. See? So that religion was only meant for 1,000 years. And for the next millennium, we need another prophet, another Nabi. Then they began to quote some verses from the Sanskrit and all that, to convince him now that there is a Nabi that is to come after the first millennium. And all the symptoms show as though you were the person that is going to be the Nabi for the second millennium. So he became more and more convinced and he went into that direction. So you see this approach, this type of attitude that we have today, everything and anything is being discussed. And everybody doesn't have the capacity to understand every argument. When he doesn't have the capacity, the strength to understand every argument, now he'll get the wrong end of the stick. See? When he gets the wrong end of the stick, he's going to be total, he'll make a total kachumar of the deen. So the simple, easy approach is, you listen to one person, we'll see the jamaat, tabligh jamaat, it's beneficial, and it's got its effect. Now they don't have a session of question and answer. Do you see that? Q&A. Iyaz decided to give one talk and then say, any questions? Q&A session. Do you see that? No. He'll give the talk and then make tashkil after that. It's a hard thing for the people to swallow, but that's the right thing. Now if he has a Q&A session there, say, why is tabligh important? Why tabligh jamaat? Why not the other jamaat? Our Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that in Dini Madrasa, you have about 5 departments. The hardest work is of a Mufti Sahib, says, because you're not only supposed to be knowing what is in the Kitab, but you need to see the client as well. Then package the Masla according to that person, so that he doesn't abuse the Masla. A person is coming through. Now, he says, is there a Tawbah for murder? Now that Mufti Sahib has to be very careful. See, now this person here seems like he's committed murder, or seems like he's contemplating committing murder. He's contemplating committing murder. So, the Mufti Sahib is not going to tell him, you know what, Allah Pak is very Ghafoorul Rahim. He forgave that person in the Bani Israel that committed 100 murders. So one murder, it won't make a big problem. You do it and make Zoba, Allah Pak will forgive you. He's not going to package it like that. He's going to package it differently. Hey, you don't do this. This is an unforgivable sin, unpardonable sin. Don't ever think of doing it. So you have to package it according to the situation. So you have to be so alert. Then comes the duty of a teacher that is teaching in a madrasa, because he can't face the class if he hasn't prepared the previous night. The previous night he has to go and check through all the kitabs, see that, understand that whole discussion, and then present it in the morning. If he doesn't refer to his kitabs, then he'll be taking a big chance here. He'll be taking a big chance here. See? So he'll make an embarrassment of himself. Maulana Muzammil was explaining that whilst he was studying, I don't know which kitab it was, but the ustad came across a word. The ustad explained one word. How he explained it? Igharra waraqat. Igharra waraqat. So, I think the Ustad explained it like that he dhoka khaya aur uske aankho mein se paani nikal aaya. No, waraqat. Igharra waraqat. Aur patla ho gaya. Dhoka khaya aur chara. Raqiya to ascend, right? Aur wo chare. Dhoka khaya aur wo chare. So, Mulana told him, but it can't be Igharra waraqat. Igharra waraqat, I know it can't be right. Then he gave his reasons. So the ustad got very, very upset about it. He said, you're talking all nonsense here. He closed the kitab and he went away. In the quiet, the ustad called him, now explain me what is this. So the ustad was convinced that what Mulana was saying was right, that the word was Igharra waraqat. Igharra waraqat means your eyes are swelled with tears, right? So that's the real meaning. So now, Ustad is asking Mulana that now how to face the class tomorrow. I said, no, I'll sort that out. So the next day, he came into the class and he's saying, you know what? Hey, I made a big mistake. What the Ustad was saying was right. It was Igharra waraqat. And I don't know what I was talking about, but the Ustad was right. So one, two brilliant students understood that they struck a deal behind the screens. They struck a deal. They came through. But a mistake is a mistake. So teaching is not an easy thing. It's a difficult thing. You have to prepare the previous night before you can deliver in the morning. So that's the second most difficult thing. First is the Mufti's work. And the second is then after the work of an ustad that is teaching kitabs. Not every ustad, but who's teaching kitabs. Then the third difficult duty, is of a muqarrir. Muqarrir's work is not difficult, who's giving bayans and all that. Because he has to learn about 20, 30 taqreers, and he can just swap them around, switch this one here, that side, this one here, and just bring one, two new waqiyat, and just fascinate the crowd and carries them through, see. So he knows how to just approach it, you know. Now there are different styles how to start off a taqreer and a bayan. One is you start off in a monotonous way, you know, one standard way. our success. And so when you start off like that, then they're going to be sleepy saying, oh, our success. What you may be talking about is right. It's not wrong. But the crowd thinks they already learned that lesson. So they don't need a repetition of the same lesson. Understand? So now the speaker, if he's a little bit brilliant, what he'll do, he'll just change it around. He'll say, you know what, I was just passing Grey Street and there was an accident. Now, he started off the talk like that, there was an accident. And then there was a Muslim man that was inside the car, was badly hurt. So now he'll start off his talk, you know, a Muslim must read all his du'as and all that and then drive, Allah will save. But he'll start off in a different note. So he just have to look for an exciting incident and then start off the bayan. So he'll get the whole crowd on a nice positive note. But now if he starts off one monotonous way, obviously he's going to get them all steepings. Right? So he says the third difficult thing is oration and speaking. It's not a difficult thing. You need just the art of oration. But 20, 30 bayans you need to know. And then just know how to rotate them. Rotate this one here, this one that side. And just keep on circulating them. So you will be all right anywhere you go. Right? So that's the third difficult thing. Then the fourth difficult thing, he says, in fact, for that fourth level, at the fourth level, you don't need to have any type of learning, any type of kamal. In fact, you need to have bare kamal. Bare kamal ki zarurat hai. First three, you need to have some kamal. Right? You need to have some type of learning, some type of education. And for the fourth level, you have to be, the condition for you to be fitting in the fourth is that you mustn't be educated. And the first three, you must be educated, you must be learned, you must have something with you. But the fourth, you must be not educated, then it can work out. And that is to raise objections. You know, to raise objections, you don't need to have any kamal. You don't have to make any preparation, anything, you know, but why like this? But there is a different dimension to this. But, you know, but there is a, you look at it from this corner here, from this angle, and you can entangle the person, whole discussion can be in that tangle, you see. One Christian came to Dioban, so to debate, you know. So he says, the more time they went to accept him, accept the challenge. He was still studying, so he had to accept the challenge. As Mawlana just started, and in the meanwhile, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah just pulled in. When Hazrat Shaykhul Hind pulled in, so this Christian is asking, Isa alayhi salam, wasn't he a kalima of Allah Ta'ala, the word of Allah Ta'ala? So Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, all he had to do is just to confuse him, complicate him. He says, what is the definition of kalima? What is the definition of kalima? Because kalima is used in Nahu, kalima is used in Ilmul Kalam, kalima is used in literature. In each thing, just explain to me what is the definition, then we'll continue. Now, this person is trying to explain something, no, this is not the definition. In the meanwhile, his wife was inside the tent, you see. This people came to debate, so they had put up a tent there. The wife made out that this person is getting in the chakkar. Who? That Christian priest is getting into the chakkar. Say, please move away from here. He's already put you into a chakkar. Now you can't come out of this chakkar. See, the idea is to get him into, land him into a chakkar, then he can't come out of the chakkar. Now, in that debate and all that, it's not your intelligence and your words. It is how to get this person drowned drowned that he can't come out. One Christian came to Muradabad somewhere, so he's challenging. So there are some ulama there, but they don't know how to take him on. So one villager says, no, don't worry, I'll take him on. So the Christian priest, he put up the Bible, says, "What is this?" So the villager understood, okay, I will say, you know, it is Injil. And then he said, but Injil is the word of God as the Quran Sharif says, you know. So he'll put him in a different tangent. So the villager made out, okay, this is the line that he will take me on. So the villager didn't accede. So what he says, no. This is yet a kaddu, this is a pumpkin. So the pastor got angry. He said, the book of God is saying pumpkin. He said, yeah, it is pumpkin. Or I will give an explanation. Okay, when he said pumpkin, what he meant, that this is expired. Like how a pumpkin, you can't take any knowledge out of it because it's not meant to be taking education. So this is expired, finished, kalas. This is what he meant. He didn't mean to belittle the book of Allah Ta'ala, but to show that you cannot access this book now. Like how a pumpkin, you can't take knowledge out of it. So it is good as that. So the idea was to just involve him in some in a different tangent, and there you'll have the whole crowd saying, "Oh, wah 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 wah, shabash shabash, mashallah." So this is mob mentality. Mob is not looking at your reasoning and your wits and whatever else. What is the level of argument? Mawlana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah was a senior Khalifa of Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. So on the other end, on the side of the Hindus, they made a big alarm of a munazara. So Mawlana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah was supposed to be an accomplice with Mawlana Manzoor Ahmad Nomani against his Hindu. So anyway, Mawlana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he went up to the place where the debate is going to take place, and he saw that Hindu, you know, that Hindu that was supposed to be challenging them. So he said, no, this person that came against me, I just threw him over. This person came in a debate to challenge me, I threw him over as well. Anybody came against me, I just threw him over. And then he went on to say, even Mawlana Manzoor Nomani came, "Main unko nicha dikhaunga, main unko nicha dikhaunga." In Urdu, it's a proverb, "Nicha dikhaunga." Nicha dikhaunga is like, I will humiliate him. That's what it means. But literally, it means, I will show him the under, you know. So Mawlana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh is debate now, you see. I say again now, mob mentality. When Asadullah Sahib confronted him, said, "I have come to debate." He says, go man, you don't even have a beard still properly. Tomorrow to mooch chumwane ka waqt hai. It's a time, you're still so small like a baby, it's for you to be taken in the lap and people must kiss your face, you know, you're so young. So when he said that, you know, that maine falane ko nicha dikhaya, maine falane ko nicha dikhaya, to Mawlana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullah, he stood up on that table on his side. See, debate, you have two sides, this table and that table. So he stood up on his table and he says, "Puri dunya mein log gaate phirte hai ke pandit sahab apne niche ko dikha raha hai, apne niche ko dikha rahe. Churache mein safar karke aaya hu." Pandit sahab apna niche dikhao. So that pandit felt so embarrassed, it was just close up everything and run away, see. So they understand that this is a debate. This is what all discussions are all about. Understand? Now we feel, everybody feels he's intelligent. Whether he's a farmer, whether he's a doctor, whether he's an, everybody thinks everybody's intelligent. So everybody's got the right to go and listen to that argument. Whereas that argument, to listen to the answer is easy. Halal and haram is, but to listen to all the arguments that come before it is not everybody's work. You need to access so many kitabs to understand the level of the kitab, level of the arguments. Then you can appreciate the answer. But you don't have all these introductory facts. And you want to listen to that argument, then the chances for you getting confused is very great. One Christian came and he said, "No, I want to debate." So one village said, oh, leave all you ulama, you go on site, I will take him on. So that villager asked that pastor, "By, I want to know your God, how old is he?" He said, "No, God is eternal. But how old, like how much, you know, I'm a villager, so you must tell me how old." So that pastor, just to get him off, he said, "No, he's about 100,000 years. And how many children he's got?" "One child, Isa." "Say, I'm better than that. I'm better off. I'm only 55 years. I got 10 children." Now, this is the level of the argument. So this is the level of the discussion. Now, the whole crowd will give a big clap. "Hey, you know, mashallah, what an argument he gave. What an argument he gave." And that whole argument is ended. But there's no argument. It's no discussion here. It's no discussion here. It's just how to maneuver a crowd, how to, you know, mob mentality, how to maneuver the crowd. It's a different thing. What I'm getting at is not a healthy thing. We think it's a healthy thing. You know, argument, discussion over the air, let's listen to it. I remember when they had that Shia and Sunni discussion over the air about 7-8 years ago, right? And a good alim was doing it. The following morning, an old musalli, very old musalli, said, "Hey, the discussion was hot last night." I asked him what. So he told me that this was a discussion. And that person is telling me, "Hey, but that Shia had his points right, you know. You know, they say that he had all his ducks on the row. He had his arguments were very well presented." Now he himself was confused. What happened to his aqaid? His aqaid were all flawed now. So is it the right thing? It's not the right thing. They don't have that level, they don't have the ability to understand it. So a straightforward bayan, 6 points bayan, is the right thing for them. 6 points, whatever other straightforward one bayan, taqwa, namaz, etc., one straightforward bayan, that is the right thing for these people. And to get them into this discussion, etc., is confusing them, is complicating them. Because they can't understand, they don't have all the introductory factors. When they don't have all the introductory facts, and then you engaging them into this type of thing, you are actually endangering their faith. You're endangering their iman. That's what's happening. That person is thinking, "No, I'm getting more and more educated." Really what you are doing is you are endangering his faith. He just needs a straightforward bayan and let him carry on. So what I'm getting at, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that when there is so much of confusion around, so one thing that we should be very careful of is entering into discussions and debates. We don't get into these debates and discussions. Many a times Christians come, this Christian is asking this question here. So I tell them, "See, if he's asking, let him come directly. You don't become his messenger boy. This Christian, he's got a doubt. You don't have a doubt. Do you have a doubt? Your mind is clear, right? Number two, is he's asking about namaz now. The Christian is asking, why is this 5-time namaz in the day? So the simple answer for that is, by the Christian hasn't accepted Islam in principle, namaz is a secondary thing. Even if you answer this, in principle he hasn't accepted Islam. So when he hasn't accepted the principle, where is he going to accept a secondary thing? So it's pointless you discussing a secondary thing when he hasn't accepted Islam in principle. He hasn't accepted the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. He hasn't accepted the Risalat of Rasulullah Paksun. What's the point in discussing secondary issues? Even if you showed him the hikmat of wuzu and he's agreed with it, he has not yet accepted the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. What's the need to discuss this thing here? So people begin to feel that when we know all these things, we become very educated, we become very enlightened, we become smart, etc. No, you don't become smart, you go backwards. So the simple thing is, for the general person, general people, when it's a common crowd, then one straightforward bayan, that's the end of it. Don't get them into debates, into discussions. They don't have the level and the capacity of understanding. And on your side, when you are discussing, these people of the Ahl-e Batil are trained in mob mentality, they are trained. When they are trained in mob mentality, then they can throw you down, very easily they can throw you down. Because they know how to sway the crowd. When they know how to sway the crowd, they can drop you very easily. Right? And now you'll be dumbfounded, you don't know what answer to give. In the meanwhile, so many people's aqaid all has been affected. See, now, oh man, he doesn't have an answer for this. What's the answer for this now? See? The second danger I explained, that many of these people of the Ahlul Batil, they use some type of spiritual powers. When they're engaging you in an argument, they use some spiritual powers. And you may not have that type of power. They got the spiritual power they got. Mawlana Abdul Haq Sahib, who's the writer of Tafsir Haqqani, entered into a debate with his Aryas. And Mawlana couldn't explain simple examples, simple principles, door, etc., like they speak in Ilme Kalam, simple things he couldn't explain. He was just getting stuck. He's starting and his mouth is just getting sealed. So, one person wrote a note secretly and passed it on to Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that there is a Hindu pundit here dressed in saffron clothing, and when Mawlana Abdul Haq Sahib, the Mufassir, great Mufassir of India, when he has to speak, then he's just throwing vibes. He's focusing towards him, and Mawlana can't speak a word. So Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib, when he received the letter, he just put his head down for a second. When he put his head down for a second, and the same person with saffron clothing, he had to run out of that hall. When he ran out of the hall, it was as though the stream of education, stream of knowledge was blocked, and the stone that was blocking it was just removed, and now the stream was moving in full force. As a result, approximately 13 Aryas and Hindus had accepted Islam on that day. So Mawlana, at the end of this, Mawlana announced, when they accepted Islam, the ulama was sitting together. He says, I didn't have any fear about Islam losing, because al-haqqu ya'alu, the truth must prevail. That I was absolutely sure. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us. Allah Ta'ala ki zaat kisi ke muhtaj nahi. He doesn't need us. So, isse hamesha dar rehta hai. We should remain constantly in a fear, in a state of fear. Don't become proud, don't become complacent, don't become too confident of yourself. Your faith and your trust needs to be in Allah Ta'ala, not in yourself. So this is the second thing that we need to be understanding. So in this type of zamana, this type of situation, etc., the right thing, what is the right thing? The right thing is that hadith which comes, that you remain within your home. In other words, within your own people. People that are your own khyal, your own thinking. Like for example now, the type of thinking that you belong to, your ulama, your mashayikh, your tabligh jamaat, whatever, just remain within them. Don't become too forward and go and mix up with every type, every class. It's one class of people you are mixing up with, just remain with them. Now you're going to go with another class, and a third class, and a fourth group, and you try and discuss with them. So you will get lost yourself. There's so many ideologies, so many thoughts that are being thrown around, that you will definitely get lost. So you won't belong to this group, you won't belong to the other group. Now you belong to one safe group, one tabligh jamaat, whatever else you are belonging to. Now you went into another group. So you find that to be interesting as well. So now you found something there. Now you got stuck with them. Then you see in a third group, then from this second group, you're hopping into a third group. So you didn't get anywhere. You see in one group that's got ulama, busukan ad-deen, pious people, righteous people, and they're moving. Now you just remain with them and carry on. That's your sanctuary. So that's the first thing that the hadith is teaching us. One group, and you see they are right, they've got ulama, they've got pious people, they're rightly guided, and they've got some experience, and you see the results of their work. So many years of work, and so much of production you've seen in that, that people that adhere or go on that line, then you will find them having a change in their lives, they're coming more God-conscious, they're coming more conscious about their farais, obligations, etc., then you stick with them. Then don't move out of them. Just stick with them. Don't act too smart and too brilliant. I need to talk to these people also. I need to talk to that people. You just remain with one small group and you carry on, you move on. Where you're going to create a problem is you want to get involved with too many groups. Then you're getting involved with too many groups, then you don't know which one is right, which one is not right. You want to make a big kashumar out of the whole thing. So you don't know how much to add of this, how much to add of that one. And then when you see a problem here, then you want to go on to the third group. So just remain. Be a simple person. You see in that group has got ulama, buzugan adin, and they've got some track record. You see that they've got some production, just move with them, carry on with them. Within their ranks, if they've got some problems, leave the problem to themselves. But the things that they are agreed upon, that are unanimous and agreed upon, you just move with them. That the small little bickering and small problems will happen everywhere, even in your own house, you'll have some problems. So leave the problems, look at the unanimous things and continue. So that's the first thing that we need to do, to save ourselves. And the second thing that we need to do to save ourselves is look at our own faults. Wabki ala khatiyatik. Instead of inspecting everybody's life and becoming an inspector and police over others, you become a police over yourself. Where are my mistakes? Where are my weaknesses? What islah do I need to do for my own self? Instead of you inspecting and policing everybody else, now police yourself. Look at your own mistakes, your weaknesses. Oh, I'm doing this. My eyes are not being used rightly. My mouth is not being used rightly. My ears are not being used correctly. Correct your own self. Right, so this is the second thing that you need to do. One is you keep to your own. One is you cry over your sins. Right? And the third thing is you control your tongue. You see what puts a man into problems is his tongue. The moment you opened your mouth, there you got yourself into problems. You kept quiet, people respected you. But the moment you opened your mouth, people sized you, oh, this person is in so much of water. But you kept quiet, they respected you, they will like you, they will treat you with respect. But the moment you open your mouth, there they understand that this person is very unqualified, he is very backwards. See? One person is not a man, not a woman, right? Perhaps naturally he's like that. So he wanted to act smart with Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Right? So he says to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, that what is the most central spot of the world? What is the most central spot? So Abu Hanifa says, the spot that you are standing upon. What's your proof? Measure it. All right. Then he went and asked, how many stars in the heavens? Say, according to how much of shells on the shore. What's your proof? Go and count it. Then he asked, are there more four-legged animals or two-legged? He said, no, four-legged. What's your proof? Go and count it. Then he asked, is there more males or more females? So now Abu Hanifa was getting tired a little bit. So he says to him, okay, I'll answer that afterwards, but tell me what are you? He asked, are there more males or more females? And I explained to him that he was not male nor female. So people feel embarrassed to say what they are, right? So I'll answer that later on, but first tell me what you are. So when you talk too much, you think you are smart, then you'll embarrass yourself. You rather keep quiet, you'll live still with respect. Amlik alayka lisanak. You be in control of your tongue. So these are the three advices that he says. You control your tongue, look after your tongue. You think about your own mistakes, and just remain with your own crowd. With your own people, people that you are sure, confident, clear about. They have got muttaqi, ulama, pious people, they've got a track record. There is something being produced out of them. Just remain with them. Remain simple. Don't look at the small problems and bickering. You look at the unanimously agreed work amongst them and just carry on. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.